Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What's up, people?
You're locked into the
2 Pro One Slow podcast. Brought to you by KexUnderwear.com. The best underwear in the action sport game.
Right, welcome back. I don't even know the episode number because we've been so slack. It's been 2 months since we've done one of these. There's a few reasons why. One, Billy has been a nightmare with his injury, getting surgeries and not surgeries. Tommy's been a bit busy racing.
Here, ready.
Yeah, you've been busy. And then we came back last week and I was due to do it. And then I got sick and lost my voice. So we've all been a bit slack.
No, I could have done podcasts at any given time, apart from there was one time where I didn't fancy it. I can't remember what I'd done. I think I went to Cornwall and back. But other than that, it's all on Bill, I think.
Well, anyway, we're back. We've got Doc Wobb here again. We are on the Friday the 19th, so the week before the VMXDN, so yeah, that's why Wobb's here.
It's all on top now. It's all happening.
It's all about to start. So I reckon we'll just have 5 minutes discussing Tommy's current affairs, because you're 15 points clear on the British Championship, one round to go. We haven't spoke to you for 2 months, and you're
firing all. I can't even keep up. You've been just pretty firing it.
You've been pretty
busy.
You
don't have to get it all in 5 minutes. I missed our two months off. Well, yeah, with my stuff, I've been doing British Championship. Like you said, I've managed to. Well, I've not really built up a 15 point lead. I think I had 15 points after. Or, no, I sort of have over the season, but there's one round left, and then I'm 15 points in front, so hopefully I have a sensible round and can wrap that up. But it's hard to go over everything throughout the season, but it has been good. I run 5 rounds, which last year I didn't win 1 round. But
what happened the last round? You were sick, weren't you?
Yeah, I was sick before. Really ill, actually. We had a wedding. We went to Sam Lowe's wedding.
I'm still getting backlash from that.
Pardon? You're still ill from that?
No, well, you had a terrible do with your flight getting delayed and all that.
Yeah.
I lent my hire car to someone and now I've been billed €770 for a dented bonnet.
Who'd you lend it to?
Fred.
What did he say about that?
It wasn't him.
What's he don't want to pay?
Fuck knows. We've had a bad do. That weekend is not one to talk about.
It was a weekend from hell. Oh, I can't say that because it was Sam's wedding. We can't say it's weekend from
that's
hell.
Probably, yeah, that's
yeah, it's too far because it was an amazing wedding. The venue and everything was literally...
Where was it?
Italy.
Nice. But it was about an hour and a half from the airport in Bergamo or Bologna, one of them two, I get mixed up. And then, honestly, such a nice venue. But everything for me, I went to the airport. My Soph's car broke down as we pulled in the airport. So that's broke. It stopped in the parking space, then wouldn't start. So then I had that on my mind. That had to get towed home in the end when we landed. I had to meet someone with a tow truck. But then we got through the airport, whatever. That was busy as they are at this time of year. Flight was delayed 3 hours, but we sat on the runway with Alf being 3 years old for 3 hours before a 2-hour flight. And then because it was delayed 3 hours, I then missed my hire car because that closed at 10 and I landed at 11 and I was meant to land at 8. So then I had to get an airport hotel.
Are you getting a picture for how bad of a weekend?
This is just, we've not even got there yet. Then I got an airport hotel anyway, got the rental car. The day of the wedding was lovely, like amazing. And then wanted to chill out at the place because it was at the pool and everything, lovely. And then the next day, the woman at the hotel was like, oh, Ducati week at this, so your 2-hour-and-a-half trip to the airport is going to take you six. So we're like, fucking hell, no time to even chill by the pool. So then we set off, no traffic, got to the hour and a half airport in an hour and a half.
Oh, fuck, so you're sitting right.
So now we're sat in the airport. We could have been sat at a pool. We're now sat in the airport.
Then the flight got delayed 3 hours.
Yeah, then that flight got delayed 3 hours. Nightmare. Then I flew home. That flight was lovely. Passport control, breeze, no people. So that was nice. And then I had to meet the bloke with the pickup truck. He then towed Soph's car home. I then got a taxi home from Stansted to That was actually quite nice because I didn't have to drive. And then that was it. That was the trip. And then we all got ill. Everyone got, everyone, the virus was going around at the wedding. And then
everyone was spewing.
And then I didn't get it until Thursday. And then Thursday, Friday, I was spewing real bad. And I never get ill. And I hate being sick. Like, well, everyone hates being sick, but I really hated it. And then I went to Whitby and I was like, this
is bad. He won at Whitby on Jacob's cream crackers as his diet for the last 48 hours. Yes. So.
No more. I was scared to eat anything, Jacob's cream crackers, and then somehow I managed to do it. It was real wet as well, so I was thinking this is going to be a bad day. Just miserable up there, wet, rainy.
But talking about rental cars, remember how many years did I rent cars for you when you were too young to rent?
Yeah.
Your dad didn't have a credit card.
Yeah, dad never had a credit card.
I used to show up, rent a car, give you the keys.
Yeah, I forgot 16, all about that.
And then your dad would be asleep in the back. You'd be off driving. And yeah. I'm like, fuck.
When's that in Europe?
Yeah. For like 2 years I did that when I was at Smith. And you were, I think.
Well, even then you couldn't even get, you can't rent a
just
car.
Just bang
to
that mic a bit
you?
Closer, Wob, to you. So we can.
Still can't rent. Even
go.
No, probably good reason we fucked up so many rental cars. I don't suppose it's.
I don't think you can get away with it nowadays. I've had so many times where I've got a bill. Even when I've sometimes took a car back immaculate, and then you just get a £500 bill, and you're like, you can't do anything about it.
No.
What did you
do?
We
just
went
on holiday. We were late getting to the airport. So I went the wrong way, reversed, pulled the rear bumper clean off the car on the way to take it back. I was savage, screaming and shouting at myself.
Did you take insurance?
It was insured, but I managed to put the bumper on and I had to drive in so slowly because I could vision this bumper just popping back off.
It's bad. So,
yeah, the next poor sap's going
to
rent.
That's
that
what happened to mine. The rental car I rented was fucked. Like, you couldn't have been more fucked. There was even dirt in it from the person before. And then they want to do me for a bonnet for €700. And I'm thinking, that's the least of that car's worries.
But
the rental car, I think, Matt Allard, do you remember him? He pulled out of a hotel on the wrong side of the road.
Or something.
He did stuff for us when we were at Moto, did stuff for Racer X.
He was a BA, wasn't he, as well?
BA guy, yeah. He went the wrong way coming out of a hotel, as you do in the middle of the night, whatever. Head on with the car. I mean, they raped him. It was a shocking amount of money.
Dixon's done a few. He broke one off, fell asleep. He's wrote a few off, fallen asleep.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
Sweden, he wrote one off, fallen asleep. I think he'd done engines till like 4 a.m, drove to the hotel basically to get a shower, wrote the car off, fell asleep on the way there, wrote the car off.
Shocking. Talking about falling asleep, you see the ASA truck? Those boys put that on his side, didn't they?
Was that fell asleep?
Fell asleep. I assume, I don't know. I'm making out like I know everything about it.
Yeah, I did see it on the side, but luckily everyone's all right.
Yeah, how many times we've been so close.
Didn't you see the picture?
No.
As I was driving to check.
As a scaffold thing.
Yeah, they weren't far away from the track, were they?
I honestly don't know. No idea.
No, I'm...
Well, I'm banging it on its side.
I've got an opinion. I don't put the truck clean on its side on the truck. And
Over
the arm car. And the lad who's in the passenger seat couldn't wake up the driver and he jumped in the back before it went over.
No way.
Mark Chamberlain was in the back asleep.
Mark Chamberlain
was in the back asleep, yeah.
Did it wake him up?
I imagine. I don't know the truth about it. I see the pictures, it looks fucked up.
Yeah, it was. It was bad. But no, that's my British Championship. And then I managed to win the race. So it's gone well. Sort of me and Harry have been like dicing it up. It seems to always go the same way. He beats me in the first race or a couple, like 5 out of 7 times is how it's gone. He's beat me in the first race, I think, and then I beat him in the second race. So he takes a little bit of points, then I gain a little bit of points. I mean, it's been like that all year, but it's been real, real fun racing, actually.
It was up to 20-odd points, wasn't it? And then I didn't come to a race, and then you...
Blacksaw, I lost a few. Yeah, I had 22.
Landrake.
Cornwall. It's been the last round for a few times. I think it's always the last round. I like it there.
That's all right, yeah.
So that's 2 weeks after your race.
Yeah.
And then... be better if it's 2 weeks before.
Well, it's supposed to be, wasn't it? That's the trouble.
Yeah, it was.
The Grand Prix changed the date. Gareth had to change the date. So all the championships should have been finished, done, dusted before our race.
Yeah, I remember.
So
you were completely
free to ride it.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? If you've come to this podcast off the back of Tommy's vlog if you're watching this first, the news is that Honda have put a stop to you racing.
Yeah.
The VMXDN.
Which is disappointing. I can see it from their point of view and Dave's point of view. They focus all year to win the British Championship. When we started the build, the British Championship did finish beforehand. And they was umming and ahhing. 1 minute we was okay to do it. And then I think the final say was they really wanted me to focus on the championship, which I can understand. Disappointing for myself, because I think it's going to be the biggest race in England for a few years, even compared to the GP. GP's hard. It's a good race, but it's so early the last few years, isn't it? It sort of puts a damper on it.
Yeah, I don't know why you want to camp at February.
No. Whereas this one, just generally being there, and I've got so many friends that are going that haven't raced in years.
For our race, I'm blowing our own trumpet, there seems to be a real positive buzz, a real positive vibe. Everybody's going. Yeah, everybody's excited for it. There's only one shit-stirring prick causing problems, but he's got an ulterior motive, and that's... You can't keep everybody happy.
No, you can't keep everyone happy.
Fuck them. And so everybody's coming. Seems like it's going to be a good do. Jordan Booker rang me the other day. He said, you know what? I haven't felt this positive buzz in English motocross since the Nations was a matter.
No, it's true.
No, I genuinely agree
with that. That's a good point. I'm like, yeah, you got it. I think there is a positive vibe and a positive buzz about it. And usually everybody's doom and gloom and everything's shit and everything's going to be a problem.
It's quite cool because obviously a lot of people are building bikes as well. So even on Instagram and that,
it's like a project.
Someone's... Yeah. Put a lot of time.
We've been sharing everything. If people put pictures up, we've been sharing them so people can see what everybody else is up to.
Yeah.
And some of the bikes are mint. They're really nice.
Yeah, everyone. Every bike I see looks unreal.
Mel Pocock looks like he's built a pretty good one.
Yeah, you've got John Gifford doing the motor, so there'd be nothing wrong with that. But no. I'll tell you what's cool. A couple of Kawasaki's. Remember Bob Bratcher? He used to be Honda Britain mechanic, RWJ mechanic. He was Matt Gordon's mechanic. And he's built a couple of really nice KX250s.
What year are they?
2001s, 2000s, something like that.
So really not like the older ones.
No, full on like Chad Reed, black frame looking. They look fucking trick.
Is this going to be, you're doing a show and shine?
Show and shine Thursday night.
So people are going to show their bikes.
People are just going to show up, put the bikes on a stand, but stand around and talk about them. Because once the racing gets going, everybody's a bit too busy, you know.
Yeah, but you can walk around the pits all weekend anyway, can't
you? Yeah, there's no pit access. Everything's open, no problem at all. And, you know, we've got the A paddock, which is the paddock nearest the road, which is all the VMXDN class and the sponsors. Then you've got the B paddock, which is the big flat space next to the track. And then the camping and the parking goes from there to the pub down the road. It's massive. We got so much room.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah, but keeping Indian. And I say the ticket sales are finished now because they advise us to finish them 10 days, 2 weeks before the event to give you time to...
That's the pre-sales.
The pre-sale.
But you can still pound the gate.
Pound the gate. Oh, yeah. Everything's available at the gate. Just keep coming in. We want that Grand Prix vibe. That's what we're going for. We're going for the 90s Grand Prix vibe. And the amount of guys, like Mick Aldous, who was Stefan's mechanic when he won the World Championship, I think he's bought like 20 tickets for all his family. Jocky Carlson's got like 15 of his family coming from Sweden.
Really?
And it's like everybody, like Mick would say, a lot of these guys didn't even
my family
come
bought tickets, now I'm not racing.
They're going to find out on air. Yeah. We're all gutted, mate. I'm gutted you're not riding, but...
Even Ed, I think Ed's like, for fuck's sake, can't you just race it? I'm like,
it's just a shame, isn't it? Because obviously, I mean, if you're watching this podcast, and listening, the bike's right behind you.
We even got you on the merch, look at that.
Oh, these are the cups. These are the beer cups.
These are the beer cups.
Why aren't they full wob?
Yeah, we could have had a beer while we're sitting. I've had a long day. Oh, we've got bigger ones.
So that's the Thomas. Thomas half pint.
That's probably about right, isn't it?
We thought you'd be all right for some pina coladas. That's why we put you on the smaller
glass. More what I would drink, pina coladas, rather than beers.
But these are instead of the disposable cups. And they're only going to be, when you buy a drink, they're £1. And you can keep them forever.
Refill them up.
Yeah.
Pay once. I thought that's a good idea. We go to a lot of festivals and you take a little bit away from everything you see.
Yeah,
that's cool.
I agree. But I'm still going to the race. Because a lot of my friends are going, even people that have not raced for years and they weren't really interested and they've not been to watch the race in years, they're like, I'm going there. So I'm still going to be there from Friday to Sunday watching the racing.
Gates open midday Thursday.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get there that early.
No, midday Thursday till midday or 2 o'clock Monday. So it's a 4 day deal. We've got live music.
Carl, it's bank holiday Monday.
So Monday.
You can wake up with a hangover Monday and you haven't got to leave straight away.
You've got to leave straight away. You've got to 2 o'clock. That's all right. But
I forgot it's bank holiday.
We're going for the Grand Prix vibe. If we can get that 90s Grand Prix feel about it.
Do you reckon there's going to be any people dressing up in the 90s motocross memorabilia?
That'd be quite good.
It would, wouldn't it?
Yeah, lots of fluorescent shit.
Yeah.
If you're listening really to this, cool. What dress up and some fluorescent
stuff? Honestly, I haven't got the riot helicopter like they had there 1 year. I'd be fine.
I reckon if whoever's got the best dressed, I'll give them a set of kicks if we...
That'd be cool.
A little competition.
I'm going to be
like
vlogging.
That 90s stuff. I want to see somebody dressed as George Michael with the full wham.
I'm going to be behind the scenes vlogging, I think. I can do that.
You found love for vlogging.
I mean, at the end of the day, I wish you were riding. It looks like, you know, I've built a couple of bikes, me and Tone put them together. It's been a lot of work. You won the merch. You know, we were flat out for it. And, you know, shit happens. It is what it is. I understand. I'm not happy.
I do. And then
I'm not over the moon about it. But who cares? It's not.
And we're still going to come.
Still going to come. We're still going to have a mega weekend.
Yeah.
And it is. We'll have to, you know.
Yeah, I'll do it next. As Dave did say, I have got a long time to be able to race that race. And although I wanted to do it right now, here and now, this year, because it's.
I somewhat get it. If I was Honda and I was paying someone to do a job, and then
the worst. That is my job, isn't it?
If you got hurt.
And full respect to Dave, he rang me up. He told me the situation. He told me why. He warned me beforehand, but we kind of buried our head in the sand a little bit, thinking, fuck, it'd be all right. But on 3/4 of the way through a bike build, I ain't just going to stop at that point.
No.
All the merch is ordered. I'm not going to take my foot off the gas at that point.
Well, the plan is to use it in the bike as well.
We're going to use it. And then Dave rang up and he explained. He's like, you know, Tom is fired up for the race. He's riding a bike that he's not going to have ridden much before the race.
That's why I took it easy in my
video. He's never raced a 252 stroke in his life. And he's racing with a bunch of guys who would put you over the track in a heartbeat. And not think anything of it.
My plan was whole shot, stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
But then I'm up against good guys. I would have been...
Yeah, and Wobbs put some extra love into the yams.
I don't know
about extra love. You can only do one level of build, kid. That's as good.
There's a yammy 100%. Behind us as well, if you're listening and not watching. Then they're probably going to... Well, they will be featuring on Tommy's vlog. They're pretty special.
Oh, you didn't talk about the yams in my video, did we?
We talked about them in the video before in the pre-build, but... Again, you're sponsored by Honda. We can't really fill your video up with you.
I wanted to find out a bit myself about that.
Well, that's what we're going to ask Wob right now. We're going to discuss all about the build. So it was, I think it was before Christmas, but you lot think it was after.
Definitely after Christmas.
So we had this bike here behind me, it was a nail, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wheeled it out the van.
Yeah.
Well, you've done a lot. What have you done to it?
Everything. You've got to start with the bare frame, take it all apart. We take it all apart, then we get all the nuts and bolts plated. Not that we're going to use them, but you don't know what clips or what little bits you're going to need, so you might as well make them look like new. Then the frame gets welded for the skid plate lugs. We've fitted steering dampers to these because I'm thinking you're going to be on the gas down the hills. You could do with a steering damper. And luckily we had some triple clamps that had the steering damper mount, so it's not that big a deal. You have got to relocate the ECU to underneath the right-hand rad panel so you can run it. So there's that. To say what we've done to the bike, we'll be here till 10 o'clock tonight.
We've got time.
It's got
so time. You've started it as a frame. You've not powder coated the frame or anything. You've just blasted it back.
It's probably 8 hours work to
polishing it.
Polish the frame.
Yeah.
Starts off with vapor blaster to get all the marks on.
And it does look like new, though. I thought that this morning. It could be a brand new frame.
A lot of work to do the frame. A lot of work to do the swing arms. But then the crankcases, the cylinder, the power valve, the head. The cylinder got plated, then it went to California for post circuit. Mitch Payton, that's the same engine spec as Ernesto Fonseca's CR250.
Yeah,
we've got to run it on good fuel, on VP fuel, because the compression ratio.
We ran it earlier, by the way, and it smells amazing. If you go to the race,
smell mega.
It smells.
Oh, the race is going to smell good as well, because everyone's going to be on that, isn't it?
Yeah, it smells.
Yeah,
amazing.
It's going to smell good. The noise, the thing's fucking loud, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what Ed said straight away. He's like, what bike's loud?
What's weird is the silencer on that has got a smaller bore than the off-the-shelf Pro Circuit silencer. Now, you would think...
Oh, so you can't buy that silencer?
No, it's all special.
Oh, wow.
So if you wrap the pipe around the frame, we're fucked.
No, I'm not going to.
Because I ain't got a spare.
Well, the stone's dented it.
You're not going to be riding it now, so it's going to be sat on a stand, so...
Yeah, it's
going to be on display. Oh, no, but I can still ride it after. There,
and then we're going
to find
a race for you to do.
Yeah.
After you've won the championship.
What bits have we got on it that are super light or made?
Super light stuff, full titanium axles, titanium linkage bolts, oversized rotors, oversized...
And all this is buyable now?
We buy it, we do everything. The newest thing we've put on there, which actually you tested today without knowing it, was foot peg brackets.
Oh, nice.
Foot peg lugs, the really heavy steel things, all worn out to baggy to shit, so we've made titanium ones like the factory guys.
Is that what the factory... Do you make them for the... factory teams you supply.
Oh my god, we supply. Yes, we make so much stuff for those guys.
No, but the foot peg mounts, not yet.
No, we've only made them for two strokes for now. We do make a Yamaha one for the factory Yamaha guys.
Oh, you do?
Yeah. So we know, we say testing, we know there's not going to be a problem because we make them to the same specs, so we make their stuff. And then, now you got me on the spot, there's so much stuff on it. The rear brake carriers are all knackered on them because at some point somebody put brake pads in without the wear pads and they're all just mullered.
Yeah.
We make a rear brake carrier, axle blocks, axles, aluminium nuts.
It's had a fair bit of work.
Oh my god, we couldn't do anything else to it. No, yeah, I don't know what else you could do to a bike.
It's better than
knocking that, please.
Oh, sorry, mate.
And then KTEC did the suspension for you. Yeah. So that's good. So we know that's good.
Suspension felt good, real good.
Pro Circuit triple clamps, which are CRF for the steering damper mount. And so that's why we have to use the cycle front plate and the slightly newer shape front fender, which I know people complain about.
Oh, is it a newer shape?
Yeah, we had one guy giving it. You ruined it for me. It's the wrong shape fender. I'm fucking sorry.
The new ones are a bit more round, aren't they?
Yeah, but...
You can't please them all.
Mate, you cannot please everybody. I'm learning that.
My Daffy Duck's not quite the same as the old one either. The
Woody Woodpecker.
Is that what it is? Woodpecker, not Daffy Duck.
Yeah.
Carmichael's one had... I think he had a few different
flags. Yeah, but they changed.
Yes, one picture I see he had a Czech flag, another picture he had an American flag.
Yeah, different years,
so I was going to get a British flag.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
But then the picture didn't look as good as that one.
No, they look really good. And then, you know, Talon wheels, your man Ben at Dirtwork sorted those out for us.
Yeah, Ben did.
Talon hooked us up. And
between Ben at Dirtworks and Talon.
What's really cool is Renthal have made a new cloth bar pad to replicate what they made in the 90s. And they're not available yet, but they've sent us a box, so we're debuting those on this race. And
they actually, they're a lot more special in real life than just saying.
No, they do look cool. It really finishes
on that bike. You go, yeah, that you can see why they're nice.
When you look at the 96 bike, your Honda 96, it's got a normal one on, and then the cloth on these.
They're really
night and day.
Just finishes them off. I mean, you could buy fake ones. They're staying up real bad. They're all right, but now Renthal are making them again, so it's a genuine thing, so that's cool.
And you'll be able to buy them.
Paul Pavaginos, who's the Renthal brand manager, global band manager, who used to be Dean's mechanic, he sent us the stuff. He's
wicked.
And he's, like I say, all he wants is pictures from what we're doing, so...
I took loads, so I'll send you them later.
So that'll be cool.
And then on your yams?
We haven't finished with the Honda yet, can
you? Oh, go on.
So GMX radiators, they're the best radiators in the business, no question, no... argument.
No,
they're just the best. So, and they look after us. Samco hoses, can't beat them.
I use them on my race bike.
Phil Denton Engineering linkages, just because they're fucking trick. That's just all you need to know.
Would he make them for my race bike as well?
Yeah,
because this year on the Honda I would have liked a lower one.
You'll make anything you want. They're so clever. I'll do anything he's ace. And then Polysport plastic for you, Cycra front number plate, front disc guard for the big 280 super light disc. KTEC did your suspension.
This throttle housing looks pretty trick from him. What's that?
Nothing I
special.
Like that.
Nothing special about that. It's just vapor blaster.
I know.
No, but it's red. I can see a red.
Throttle tube. It's an aluminium throttle tube. Yeah. Right. A Pico aluminium throttle tube and an Apico kickstart. I know people. But nothing wrong with it. It's all good.
You've built a lot with the help, haven't you? So we've used parts that probably weren't on Ricky's bike and other bikes like it. But you've
factory immigration, some parts.
Yeah, you've used a lot of parts that from people that have helped you out.
Yeah.
To obviously keep the cost down and...
Yeah, and we get a lot of help because I'd like to think the people who help us get a good return for a relatively small investment.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they've had 3 YouTube videos, 2 podcasts.
Well, that's the thing. You know, but, you know, you get somebody who's racing a series and they expect all this free stuff and don't give anything back. And as a sponsor, you need to...
That's exactly what I always think. Was slightly off topic, but with Kex, I think a lot of people message me saying, can I have a free pair of Kex with... 0 Instagram followers and do nothing. And I think there's no win.
That's why we're really good with the Superlight because people say, that's expensive because they give it away to factories. Nobody gets it for free.
Yeah, factories are paying.
We're a technical partner. They all buy it.
Yeah.
I mean, they get a deal, but they all buy it. And when you see the volumes of stuff that we get through is...
Yeah, we've been numb before and there's bags of shit.
But they're not buying it because they're getting a deal. They're buying it because they want the best product. The factory teams couldn't care less.
They don't care less about the price.
No.
No, and like the test stuff, we're constantly sending stuff to KTM. I've got Dirk, who's the...
Yeah, I know Dirk. I like Dirk.
Team manager. He's on to me. Right, he's trying to figure this out, trying to figure that out. And we're just constantly changing everything. Nothing's the same. But when, we do such a cracking job, you know?
When you get these bikes, not... I don't want to sound like an offensive thing, but is it a bit of a fluke when you start it up and it... Because it's not skipped a beat all day. Like, you've started it up and it's worked mint.
Fluke. He ain't got a fucking Scooby. Fuck,
no, luck of the draw.
This face no, when it's fired up, like, if it's over the moon.
Not, that's hand the wrong way.
Heart, these 6 bikes we've built, there's 4 Yams and 2 Hondas. I will say, hand on heart, they have all started up first kick. Yeah. I've got no reason to lie to you. They have started up. But when you build them right, they're going to be right. When you put them together, you check for spark, you clean the carb, you service everything.
That's what
they've
I was
got to start. It's not a luck. They've got to be.
Yeah, it's not like you pulled it out of a garage.
But like even the jet-ins, relatively, you're not a mile away.
No, we're not a mile away. I mean, like it's really hard to jet a bike until you've run it properly because it'll feel tight, and tight feels like rich. Yeah. So you start going leaner, and you're putting less oil in the motor, and it becomes a problem. You've got to put like an hour on them. Like now, that bike feels completely different from when you first fired it up. So now we can richen it up.
Yeah,
because it felt rich before, but it, rich and tight and oily feel the same.
Yeah,
so, I mean, you've brought this bike for Tommy to ride today, and you've rode it around the garden at home a couple of times.
We run it around the garden. We put them through heat cycles, basically, where you run it for like first time for like 15 minutes and then let it cool overnight.
Yeah.
Next day, run it for like 20, 25 minutes, let it cool overnight. Then you go through the gears, but there's only so much you can put on it. We need somebody to ride them, to bed the brakes in, bed the spokes in. There's not a lot of point in doing too much jetting because
according to the
weather, it's going to be good. But we can't. Mm. And the good thing about, you know, yourself and Brownie and Ryan Villapoto, who we're building for, those guys, they'll tell you what they want. It's so good.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be like, it's this, it's that, and we'll just change it to them. And we've got, you know, Julian Dobb working with Ryan. Well, Julian knows how to jet a bike. We know how to jet a bike. We're all going to be working together. We should have them running spot on.
Yeah.
And the sound of those going up those hills.
You shouldn't, the weather should be quite similar to what we had today.
It's going to be 24 degrees, sunny, cloudy. It's going to be, you couldn't ask for,
no.
We're over the moon, you know.
Yeah,
you
if that comes off. Weather. It was 32 and 38 degrees.
Fuck, that's too hot. But you get what you get, you know what I mean? I know as soon as you mention Fox Hills, everybody talks about the muddy one at the Nations, but did you still have fun? Yes, you did. So
yeah.
It's only a problem if you're a mechanic.
The weekend is what you make it, isn't it? If you're there for a laugh with your pals, it doesn't really... still going to race the bike, whether it's muddy or rainy. Or
and when you're watching, you know, it's like you watch an F1, I'd rather it rain because it's much more interesting.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, true.
No, so it's going to be good then. So that
seems it, yeah.
That's Tommy's bike. So then the Yammies is, again, it's pretty much same.
The same people who help us out. We got the same little group of people. You know, Denton make the linkages, GMX do the rads, Samco do the hoses.
And same thing, straight to the frame.
Straight to the frame, welded, strengthened. Difference with the frame on the Yam is that it's powder coated. Ollie Benton at Ceramics does the powder coat. We found a colour which is called Bentley Blue, which we think is the same as what the factory Yamahas used to use.
It's so nice, that blue on the frame.
They use it for under the lights so it pops, like when Kawasaki used to run fluorescent green frames because it looks better under the lights. Mm-hmm. Yamaha used to use this colour to bring out the lights.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Evo MX do the graphics on this one. They've done a cracking job.
Did you get any help from Bud Light?
Nothing from Bud Light.
Oh, I was going to say, you and Tony surely needed a few Bud Lights.
All kinds of copyrights, if I'm honest. But, you know, we went for the McGrath graphics because you think the factory Yamaha, it's cool, but it's a bit too plain.
Yeah, that's the problem with some of them.
It's a bit too plain. So we went for McGrath Bud Light because who doesn't want to look like the king, you know?
Mm. No, it's cool.
And then same people, Talon. The difference with the Yamaha's obviously suspension. So we've got KYB. So we've had Nick at Pro Racing help us with some Enzo stuff. We've got some X Star Racing kit suspension, which we've remade fit the two-stroke. So we know that's going to work well. We've got big brakes on it. We've done everything.
My brakes worked amazing today. Yeah.
You just got to build them nice. That's all you got to do. And then,
have you had any
Yams? We've gone. 11,
I could have done endos on that today.
Like 11.
Fuck off! You can't do it.
I come over one of them jumps. You was over the other side of the track. I popped over the top. What lovely endo all the way. Probably 3-4 seconds.
No, I haven't. Three or four seconds.
When we're building them, a big thing for us is I don't want it to jingle jangle like an old shitter.
No.
Like you fire these bikes up and you buy them. Everything's like so. Everything that's baggy gets.
Oh yeah, that must felt like. It didn't jingle at all.
I've got a full-time engineer, and that's all he does all day is machining shit to make it.
Yeah, make it feel tight. Yeah, nice. They honestly they do. When you first before you rode it, and I pushed it to the stand over there.
Yes, brand new.
It's like solid, isn't it? Everything.
Brand new bike. Yeah. Well, factory bikes do, don't they? That's what
the clutch, the levers, and everything make a big difference straight away if they're worn and it's like that one's just everything's just.
Perfect. Thing is on these the clutch levers. A four-stroke lever, so we have to bend the actual lever blade to work on a two-stroke a little bit because the ratio is a little bit weird.
Yeah,
not quite the same.
Yeah, you were saying you bent Mike's, and also Mike's asked for a lower subframe. And
Mike's asked for a lower subframe, steering damper on the Yamahas as well, because he wants to be on the gas down the hills.
And You've got a tall seat and a...
We've got tall seat, low seat, tall subframe, low subframe. Three different offset triple clamps.
Fucking hell, he doesn't want
much.
This is
what Mike said he wants.
No, but if we can give it to him, then he'll... The thing is, people bitch and moan, but if you can make these guys happy and feel safe,
yeah,
they'll perform.
100%.
And who wants to come and see somebody wobble around because he don't trust the brakes?
Yeah, 80%. You don't want to see 80%. You want the full.
And like the thing is with the guys we got coming, I mean, I've had a lot of conversations with Ryan Villapoto. He's like, oh, I'm just going to get top five. I don't. In fairness, Ryan's got fuck all to prove. He's nine-time AMA championship. He's got nothing to prove.
He definitely doesn't
come
have
over
to
us
prove.
And beers, but he's a racer, isn't he?
Yeah, the minute he gets on that
and
start,
all them air horns, all them flags, all them people there, it's going to feel like a big time event.
I'm excited now. I'm not in the race to actually watch him rip one of these.
Yeah, well.
You forget how good, I never watch a race, so I never go, but now you talking about it, I'm like, fucking hell, yeah, watching this lot. And even like Irwin, Pocock, Bradshaw.
God, the names, Elliot Banks-Brown.
Yeah, Banks-Brown, like they're just going to be wringing the neck off these bikes, flat Anderson's out on a two-stroke.
Do you now see why Honda don't want you there?
Yeah, can see why they don't want me there.
Clear but now.
Yeah, it's going to be good just watching that, like generally excited, way more exciting than a normal
race.
There's
the smell, there's the sound, with the air horns, with the we're having that Darude sandstorm playing as you go to the line.
Oh, I like the GP. Oh,
I like the
yeah,
GP,
that's cool.
Back in the day.
Well, when I first started GPs, that was that.
Yeah,
between them two. So we've got that all planned out. It's going to be, it should, if it's not a good weekend, we can't make it any.
Well, you try, don't you? I think it's going to be very good. So
we've had a good go. And
then you got, we got music Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Friday night.
No, not Thursday night. Thursday night's just about background elevator music, I'm guessing, or something. But yeah, like we've got live bands, we've got Bon Jovi tribute act on Friday.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too. Like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable, too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Friday night, they're mega. I follow them on Facebook. 1 week they're in Dubai, next week they're all over the place. They're really good. And then the Saturday night, we got the Audio All-Stars, which is like, they sing, you know, Mr. Brightside by The Killers and Oasis and all that kind of stuff. So they'll get the place rocking.
Yeah.
And then Sunday night, after party, we've got two DJs.
Oh, mega.
So it's going to be all right. So we can have a drink. And the thing is, most of the time with the race we used to do is your average guy's got kids. He can't get to the track till Friday night. He's racing Saturday, Sunday. He leaves straight away because they've got to get the kid in the bath and back to school. Well, kids are not at school, so you can come Thursday.
Yeah, you want it wants to just be a relaxing.
It's
nice
going to be
weekend.
A relaxing weekend. Friday is the best, my favourite day because there's no stress with racing, you're talking, chitty chatting, a bit of scrutineering,
yeah,
a couple of beers in the tent. It's nice, you know. And then Sunday, we're not all. Otherwise, everything's just gone. 7 o'clock Sunday night. Well, this way,
yeah,
most
nice.
People are staying. Well, why wouldn't you stay for a free party if it's like,
yeah,
you've already paid for the camper, you've already paid to be
yeah,
there.
Definitely.
Why wouldn't you? You know.
So what's the let's go through this the schedule. So it's Thursday. Door, gates open 12.
Midday Thursday. And then everybody's parking up, getting camped up. We've got the show and shine, like 6 p.m. outside the beer tent.
Roll your bike up,
put it on a stand and have a drink, chitty chat about your bike. There's going to be some minters there. And then Friday morning, scrutineering, sign on, check out the track.
It's obviously a bit of buzz going on all day Friday. No bike, no riding on Friday.
No riding on Friday. We're okay. Not allowed to have any bikes on track Friday. And then Roger Warren's going to be doing interviews in the beer tent before the music's on. So that's going to be flat out.
So that's Friday afternoon into the evening.
Friday afternoon, evening. And then Saturday, practice first thing. Two races Saturday. Music again.
Beer tent.
Interviews. We've got Rick Johnson coming. Dave Thorpe's launching his new book.
Cool.
There's a lot of legends walking around the place. We nearly got Stefan to come.
Mr. Everts.
Yes, but he's in Portugal. on holiday, but we ever so close because he was going to bring some gin. So that was a conversation we had this week. And things are changing all the time. We've got lots of people coming out of the woodwork. We've got a couple more Americans coming over.
Cool.
We've got Dennis Stapleton.
Zach's still coming.
Zach's coming, yeah. We've got Dennis Stapleton coming over, who's a MXA test rider, doing a big feature with MXA.
When's Zach landing?
I don't know.
So basically, from Thursday onwards, if you turn up at the track, there's something to look at, watch, and do.
So much to do, yeah. I mean, and the trade area is not just a few shops selling tat. It's like...
Are Masters of MX going?
I don't know.
If they are, you can buy Kex there.
And my merch.
Yeah, there'll be that. But we've got, like, you know, Alpine Stars launching their new colourways.
Oh, yeah, they was upset that I'm not racing.
Yeah, and we've got FXR launching their new colourways. We've got O'Neill launching their new stuff. We've got Pro Circuit on display. We've got Troy Lee Designs.
Oh, so it's all the big nice to look
It's going
to
be like a dirt bike show.
Yeah.
It's not just that a few people cool, selling stuff.
Yeah, I'm actually excited.
We've got Whole Shop Motorhomes displaying, big camper van display. We've got Crescent Yamaha there with all the off-road bikes and the World Superbike Champion coming along.
Paul Denning coming?
Yeah, Paul Denning's coming with the team and the World Champion.
And mate.
Top Rec?
Yeah.
Top Rec's going. Yeah. He can do stoppies. He'll show you.
Yeah, he can do a stopper, yeah.
Guy Martin's asked for tickets, so he's going to be wandering around the place.
Wicked.
There's going to be a few. It's going to be a lot going on.
Tell you what, get your autograph books out, everyone.
There's going to be a lot of people there. It's going to be a lot of names.
You've got yours up there still.
Yeah, I actually have. I started an autograph book. He takes the piss out of me.
When
I was really young and I first had this track and I used to ride with Jamie Dobb all the time, I had a book and I've got some good people that have written.
Go on, list a few.
Good for you.
James Stewart, Tim Ferry,
yeah.
Metcalf, yeah. Everts,
Philip Arts,
Villapoto,
Caroli. Yeah.
You never took
the book anywhere, but there's people that have
They only signed it if they rode the track and then they wrote a little bit about
Hayden.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, Roger DaCosta signed it, even though he didn't ride.
Did he? Excellent.
It's full.
Yeah, you've actually got some good names up here.
Good for
they all said it was the a River. Shit track, though, and really narrow and really rocky.
It was worse then. To be fair, it's got better. Well, it's got rockier, but better.
Track looks all right, actually. Credit to you. It looks all right.
This time last year,
the bike, it was unbelievable, wasn't it? How we had it all rebuilt. It's not been touched since.
We're actually looking for a digger driver to come and do it because...
It's hard work to get anyway. Everyone's so busy with track builders.
Yeah, they're very busy. So if anyone's a skilled...
I had a go one time. Fuck, it's the hardest thing in the world.
Horrible job.
If you don't know what you're doing, I can drive that skidster half sensible, but put me in anything else.
If you don't know what you're doing, you can really fuck up and make a mess.
Yeah.
I can make a mess and I know what I'm doing, but I rush it.
No, it'd be a good event. I'm genuinely looking forward to it.
I'm nervous because I've never done it before. It's a new thing to me, but luckily Dave King, my partner, has done it before 12 times and he's on it, no problem at all. And the Language Club, those guys, nothing's a drama for them.
What is the long game of this? Next year as well, obviously, hopefully trying.
We've got some really, really cool things in the works. I don't want to jeopardise it by saying, but...
This isn't just happening this year.
Shouldn't be just a one-off thing, no. I mean, if...
Hope to do this again.
I mean, I'm not saying it's all about the money, but it's got to pay because I'm into it for a lot.
Yeah, you've put your balls on the line. Money,
you know, so hopefully we get that back and we go again. But it does seem... With the pre-sale tickets and with the Grand Prix being so early in the year, like it's going to be one of the biggest races on the British calendar.
I really hope for you it is. It's annoying the stigma you get in motocross where people get the arse when a promoter makes some money out of an event. Like, fuck me.
Well, if they didn't, there wouldn't be an event.
Exactly.
And it's like if the manufacturer didn't make money, there wouldn't be any bikes.
Exactly.
If the helmet people didn't make money, you wouldn't have a helmet to wear.
If the rider didn't make any money, they'd still turn up. That's what we do.
Can't pay this weekend.
There's a tenner behind you. Let's just say that.
No, I don't mean your race in general. Half of them don't fucking just fucking crack on. You're just in it for the long run.
Well, you enjoy it, don't you?
Yeah, you just love it.
But it's I'm hoping it works out. I mean, it's all up in the air, but the vibe's positive. Everything's good. The pre-sale's good. The industry.
The industry definitely supported this race more than any, for some reason they obviously see the
but the two-stroke thing's massive, you know. You only got to see the Red Bull straight rhythm, the way the Americans are getting behind the two-stroke stuff. You spoke to Mitch about your engine, he's fired up.
He loved it
They all love it because that's what they cut their teeth doing, you know what I mean?
They were the heydays, weren't they?
You're not jaded with the two-stroke stuff. You get a bit jaded with the modern stuff.
I miss it. Well, like I said to you earlier off camera, first Supercross I went to 2005, I just caught the tail end of the two-stroke here, and then it all went four-stroke. But you
that was cool.
You
my
miss
first
it, don't you?
Year in the States was 93 when McGrath was on Honda on 15.
Yeah.
And that was when he came, his breakout year. So that was a cool year to see all that.
Definitely. What was he on then, 125?
No, his first year on 250 Honda.
Did he win 125 championship as well?
Yeah, on peak antifreeze.
See, I was three then. That I probably wouldn't have understood it.
No,
he, that was a cool time to be there because I was living with Brian Swink and it was a cool time.
No, it's
a little bit lawless, but it was fun.
Oh, I can imagine it was lawless.
You meant you. I think you owe us a couple of stories from the last podcast. I'm not sure.
I don't know, kids are watching. All
right, in the beer tent, yeah, people can get the stories.
Oh yeah, we'll get some beers into us. We'll have a good time of it.
Sunday night, we reckon we'll get a bit of liquor down. Yeah.
Yeah, no problem at all.
Let the loose lips go.
Yeah, I'll tell everything.
Shall we mic you up and then just follow you with the camera?
Yeah, why not? It'd be funny, won't it?
You'll be telling me delete.
There'd have to be a lot of beeping, I think, by the time I've had a
couple. No, there'll be a lot of deleting on Monday morning.
Whose bike are you looking after at the weekend?
I don't actually work on anybody's bikes because I've been called every which direction. So we got Tony Neary, who's my main man. He's looking after Brownie because they're 4 years in. They get on really well. They're both unflappable, softly spoken. They just get on. It's great. We got Julian Dobb helping with Ryan Villapoto because Julian's going to need to be on the ball with the jet in and everything else. And we've got Wincy helping Tony, and we've got Adam Wells helping Julian. So we've got two guys on each bike.
Yeah.
So we're more than covered.
Because it's quick turnaround, isn't it? Like you said, it was only a four-lap practice.
Oh, you've got to be on it.
And six-lap races.
With these old bikes, there's always problems. Yeah. You know? That's why we built two. We don't build two for any other reason than I guarantee you that second bike is going to be behind the marquee, ripped to bits by the second the second day. Because that's just, we're stealing bits off it like you wouldn't get your head around. That's just way
just
it
what
works.
Happens.
It's what happens. And if you go down there with no parts.
Is that because you don't get a lot of time to ride them before?
We can't. We can run them, but these guys push them way beyond.
Was they the same back then?
They weren't reliable. They weren't reliable 25 years ago, and they've been fucking field bikes for 24 years, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know, and like things like Brownie. Like Brownie would go out and do a set of reeds in four laps.
What's reeds?
The reeds in the motor. Fucked.
You're just what like them? I still don't know. Do you even know what reeds are?
Reed valves in the car.
Reed valves.
Yeah. Brownie won't make a set of those last two races.
So what? We just replaced.
And like last year, he was doing front brakes. Did three front brakes on us. Melted the seals in the brake.
Really?
Yeah. You're just like
he shouldn't come on in. These ones.
No, it should be all right. But he came in and he's like the front wheel would hardly turn, and then you take them apart and the seals are all melted. You're like, fucking really?
They're to be
they're
fair.
Pushing on. They're
it's
pushing
good
on.
That you're on these modern bikes in the main class. I mean, I know there's all sorts of bikes throughout. But the top boys are going to be pushing the
bikes.
They're
not that modern, though.
Well, you say modern, but we've kept it. The reason we...
Not modern, but some of the components you can use the brakes are better.
The reason we've come out the gate with 2002 to 2022 is 20 years. And when the vintage racing started out, it was in like 2009 and the bikes were 89. So it's 20 years.
Yeah.
So we've kept the 20-year gap. But the bikes have got better. They just have. But I've got to be honest with you, they ain't that much easier to build.
We've
had a lot of engineering and a lot of messing about. They haven't been... They're still 20 years old.
Yeah, still 20 years old. But that's quite a big step up in brakes and things over that time.
Very much so, yeah. You've only got to see that from that one to the older Honda we built for you.
Yeah, well, when there's both side by side,
it's a
big difference.
It's a dinosaur, doesn't it? And that this thing don't look that much different to your Honda you're riding now, you know?
No.
Like you,
well,
like,
you got alley frame.
Like your granny couldn't tell the difference, you know what I mean?
No.
They do look similar.
How many times have you had to use that special phone book of yours to call in some help or ask a few special questions?
All the time. I'm on it every day. I'm ringing people up.
What?
Just for advice.
Old mechanics.
What did you do about this? How did you get around that? Just sorting out. You know, it's like you don't just come up with these ideas yourself.
Moving the ECU must be like semi-technical.
You've got to redo all the wire and loom. And,
yeah.
And you're looking at pictures ain't going to help you, so... You have to just ring the right people up.
Is there an ECU on 96?
There's a black box on it. It's nothing. It's not adjustable or nothing.
No. And it's adjustable on these
ones? To be honest, yeah, but the two strokes didn't really. On 125 used to need electrics, 250s, not so much.
Yeah.
They don't
really. I didn't know.
Did you hear what Wob said earlier off camera about the video we did at the place last week? Someone screenshot because there was some writing on the wall and zoomed in and asked him what that meant on the ball.
It's scary because you think, fuck, they're
paying attention.
They are paying attention. People do screenshot, they do. And I have this conversation with people all the time. They'd be like, oh, Ian Hughes never used that front brake. And I'm like, just because you've seen a picture from one race doesn't mean that's how it was.
Yeah.
Because you know as well as I do, the bike that you come out of the gate with your press photo shoots at the start of the year, it's pretty different to the bike you finish the year with, because you're constantly upgrading, you're constantly changing.
Yeah, you're completely right.
And the bike's not the same week in, week out, because you're changing stuff up. So you can look at a picture.
Well, yeah, as a rider, one would you're using this clamp, and next week someone says, like, factory KTM now are all on 48 mil. They've gone from 52 mil to, is it 49 or 48?
Yeah, 48
mil. So now they're like, they've gone from the big forks, and now apparently the other forks, they've gone from standard shock to this shock.
Yeah.
Justin Cooper, at the beginning of the year, went from factory suspension back to standard suspension. So everything changes literally on them bikes.
We've just sent out a load of bolts, and the amount of stuff we're having to send for them to bolt different shit on the bike.
Yeah, because they've changed so much.
They're moving stuff all the time. So it is what it is. It suits us. It's not a problem.
Everyone's searching for the lap time.
Yeah,
well, that's the thing. There's a lot of developing. It was the same back in the Grand Prix back in the day or in the States. You know, the stuff's changing all the time. So you can't look at a picture and categorically say that's right or that's wrong. You better speak to the mechanic.
Yeah.
And he'll tell you, oh, that didn't work or this did work.
Now, just from knocking about with Billy, his bike changes.
Oh, my God.
Like, weekly almost.
Yeah, nothing like it.
Yeah. Sometimes it's totally different. You go, all right, that looks...
Well, they're constantly developing. That's the thing. And that's, if you're not developing, then you're standing still, aren't you?
100%.
At that level, at top level. In British Championship, my bike's not changed, really.
Well, you say that. You've been fanning about your suspension and suspension, linkages.
But not like... The fact it's hard to get stuff for the modern stuff because you're... I just think... Because everything's so new all the time, the companies, half the time, you can't get something until 6 months after, a year after the bike's been released.
And I mean, I know I sound like Ralph Venables back in my day, but the bikes are really good standard now.
Yeah, they are,
really
good.
You don't need to change stuff.
You
can put a pipe on a set of suspension on a bike, go racing Grand Prix. Fuck, you couldn't do that 20 years ago.
No. You're completely right, you don't need to.
To do a lot of work to make them race ready.
But the factory team, they're not buying parts, they're building their own parts. That's the difference. And then we can't, a normal person can't get them parts, so you don't change much, but they're literally trying stuff, I guess, for the future bikes. So they're one thing.
Oh, yeah,
you're
offering factory bikes 2 or 3 years ahead of production.
Yeah.
And it doesn't all make production, it doesn't all work.
No, I listened to an interview the other day, and the factory Honda are using a different frame to what I'm using, but it's probably a frame that they're going to, I think I heard they're going to change the frame a little bit on the next bike, so they're probably that frame already that going to get in a year.
It's so different, yeah. And it's just because it works for one guy doesn't mean it works for another.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's where it always makes me laugh with some suspension people. They'll be like, they'll bounce on the forks or shock, and that's wrong. Well, hold on a minute. You walk up to Pro Circuit Kawasaki, you bounce on one bike, it'll feel different to the next one. So which one's wrong? They're both right for the guy riding the bike. So you can't just categorically say, that's right, that's wrong.
I run mine real fast. Everyone always goes, that's fast. And I was
but if that's what you like.
If I slow it down, I don't like it.
No, well, there you go. So it's not wrong. It's right for you. And that's all that matters.
If you go fast on it, it works.
That's why there's adjustment on a fucking stuff. You know what I mean? What amazed me, how little adjustment there was on road race stuff.
Well, yeah, but then...
But they changed the valve in rather than the clickers. You know what I mean? We've got massive adjustment on clickers.
I like it when you see them do a wet session, they just fucking pop the tops of the springs off. Boom,
I was talking to Ben, who used to work at Dixon.
He's
Olin's guy now, and then they don't adjust nothing. I said, so if it rains, what you doing? He was like, just change the spring. So, and he was like, it's literally pop off, bosh.
Yeah, the springs come out, new ones.
Boom.
Yeah,
no, and then it's on. It's not like
it is. And I was surprised how, like, Valentino's Rossi's forks were not that expensive. You'd expect them to be like $200,000 or something. They were like $5,000 or something. They weren't...
Really?
Yeah, they weren't insane money.
Well, Ben was doing Valentino Rossi's stuff last year.
Yeah, crazy, isn't it?
Because he was on... He's on the team that Rossi was on last year. Now it's obviously... whoever's there now, but...
Come on, he went last week.
Dovizioso.
No.
Yeah.
Who's on the bike?
Dovizioso. No, you've got it. You're getting it wrong. I'm right here. Rossi was on factory last year. Rossi was on Petronas.
Yeah.
Now Petronas has changed, but it's Dovizioso and mate, he's the South African kid.
All right, I'm with you.
We actually supplied Valentino's team with tools.
Really?
Yeah.
I've seen them. VR46 T-bars. Oh,
yeah.
Still waiting for mine, but, you know, Christmas soon.
Christmas story. Christmas list. Yeah, we make a lot of stuff for those and the Alpine Formula One guys, and, yeah. Don't know how it ever got here, really. It's weird.
Yeah.
It's interesting what happens, isn't it? How it all goes through.
It is. And it's also, it's very much an old
boy. Yeah, mad how
even it's an old boys network as well. Let's not kid yourself. It is who you know what I mean?
Yeah, even where you was a mechanic, then you was doing goggles and working for Smith, and now it's gone like full circle, and it's like being in the right place at the right time, and then all of a sudden, boss, you're doing this.
Yeah.
Now you're promoting it and doing an event.
I know.
I've Who'd done have thought everything. You were an event? I was a magazine
editor. I've done everything, kid. I am the jack of all trades.
If someone says you're going to be organising motocross events, running big events.
Do you like doing motocross events? Have you had any backlash? Anyone called you a twat?
Yes. You can't please everybody, can you? You can just do what
that's
you
a hard job. That is very hard.
You can just do what you think's best for the event or best for everybody there. And somebody's going to have the ump. It's like, you know, like Dave, when we first had our meeting, said no Saturday tickets. And I'm like, really? Why? And he's like, because you can't stop them staying all weekend. You're like, okay, fair enough. Every day, do you do Saturday only? Do you do Saturday only? I'm like, no.
But I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Because it's not like you can kick everybody out of the whole venue and check them again coming in.
Yeah.
You can't.
Is that how most events work? They must do the GP tickets.
Oh, I don't know. It's all new to me. But I can only go with the guys who have done it before. You know, I can have an opinion about most stuff. But
yeah, someone else knows.
Well, I've never promoted a race before. I've been to a few. I've never promoted one. So I have to go with what those guys say. I think we're going to change that for next year anyway.
Yeah, well, it's a learning process.
Oh, my God, yeah, we've got it wrong on a few things, but generally, so far, so good. You know, I'm absolutely shitting myself.
Yeah.
Because everything seems like it's, you know, if we remembered this, we remembered that. And when I speak to Dave or Chris or Ronnie or Cookie at the track, everything's handled. They're like, yeah, we got it. Don't worry about it. We got it. I'm glad somebody asked, because I feel like that proper imposter syndrome where somebody's going to figure in a minute, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, but it's that last week, isn't it, now, more than ever. Literally, you're in the last week. It's like a high-pressure situation, really.
It seems to be. Like, the phone does not stop
ringing. It's not stopped today.
Phone doesn't stop ringing. And it's like, you want to look after everybody, but, you know, at the end of the day, me and Dave are just promoters. It's the club who sort the tickets out, and there's only so many photographers you can have on the track. And
yeah.
You got me down on the list.
Of course.
That's all right.
Then. And me. I'm going to be Media Tom.
We get you running around in a bib.
Yeah, I have a bib and my camera. I'll have my new lens by then. No.
I just hope it's going to be all right. I think it's going to be good. There's a lot of interest. And it just seems crazy to come out of the gate and what's potentially the biggest race on the UK calendar.
Yeah, you've gone big straight away, yeah.
You know, we haven't built up to this. This is big.
Well, you've set yourself up for it, bringing Ryan Villopoto and Mike Brown, two pretty big names in motocross, there. That'll do it for you.
Yeah, well, we're talking to a couple of bigger ones for next year.
Bigger than Villopoto?
Yeah.
His name's Ricky.
There's not much bigger than Villopoto.
No, RV's...
Probably two.
RV's as big as it gets.
It'd be cool, though.
He's excited. Ryan's really excited. He's coming in Wednesday. He's going to help us put the tent up.
I'll be excited to see how he goes.
But he's a nice kid, Ryan. You know what I mean? Like, I dealt with him when he was on.
Yeah, when he came for the GPs, he was pretty sound.
Yeah, he was Smith on 85s.
He was Smith on 85s.
I remember watching the videos.
Yeah, he was. And I used to go for, you know,
Armageddon. Chromageddon, was it? Did you have that?
Chromageddon.
Chromageddon.
Me and Denny used to hang out with his mum and dad. And great, lovely family, you know. Ryan's a super nice kid. But he's so different now to what he was when he was racing. It's like he didn't like it. He didn't enjoy it. Didn't enjoy the pressure.
I think he's in that position,
I assumed
he is.
When he was done, he was going to be done. But he's hung around and he's a different person. He's much more. He's back to the person who I kind of knew on an.
Yeah, as a kid. Yeah, he was. Even in the videos as a kid, he was so playful. Obviously, he was young then, loving life, and then.
But you know, but when he's on them carry 450s, he was so serious.
Yeah, but I think when you're getting paid
and you've got that pressure
every year,
that's a hard thing to do, isn't
especially in America. As soon as motocross is over, he's won. What's he get? 2 weeks, and then he's back on it, and it's like you can't even enjoy what you've done. So
I remember when he came over to the Belgian Grand Prix, when he was asked me about speaking to some European teams about coming over because he fancied doing a year in the GPs. And he was talking so matter-of-factly about racing Ryan Dungey and James Stewart. The way he was talking was just like, if I'm in the lead and I've got Ryan behind me, Dungey, he's like, I've got to get a lead because I'm going to get tired and he isn't. So I've got to get myself a 10 or 15 second gap because I know he's going to keep coming. And he said, James is faster than both of us. But if you show him a front wheel, he panics and you make a mistake.
Yeah.
And he said, I can't keep this speed up for long. If I shove him a front wheel a couple of times, he's going to fuck up.
That's mad.
And it's just mad that he knew them so well. And he knew that he wasn't as fast as James, but he was faster than Ryan.
Yeah.
Ryan was fitter than both of them.
And it's like when you're just racing all like every weekend back to back.
Yeah, it was funny just to listen to him.
Yeah, that is quite cool.
Breaking stuff down. It was quite.
What's fun. Your bit off topic? But what's your thoughts on the Ryan Dungey comeback? I think it's pretty cool to
see. Good for him if he wants to come back. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's cool to see. I think it's mint.
And like Carioli as
he's
well.
He's only obviously done it for himself. It's not like a money thing. He's just generally money, personal.
No, come to have a go, you know.
I just think it's mint how he just turned up number 5 Red Bull helmet Fox gear like he'd never left. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's just mint.
Literally like he'd never left.
What about Carioli?
Yeah, cool again, isn't it? Like fuck me, you've done all that. You've got nothing to prove, but you want to have a go.
No, exactly. Well, that's what I like about Ryan coming here. He's got nothing to prove.
Yeah,
he's got no reason to come and do it. He's flying halfway around the world.
You need people like that.
And I think with him,
because he's racing, because he enjoys riding dirt bikes.
Like Brownie, he comes and he just tears it up.
Brownie's like Peter Pan. He's a fucking anomaly. He's not normal. You know, he's just done Loretta's one plus 40, plus 50. And I think his lap times would have put him up with like Deegan.
Really?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, check the lap time.
Oh, I will have a look at that, insane. Actually. That's fucking mad.
It's madness. I don't know if he can keep it up, but, I mean, the guy is like a different league. And
well, he did, what did he do? 4 years off-road riding, then he just decided, oh, I'll just do enduros.
He can ride a dirt bike, that kid. And he just...
Like, how old is he now?
50. But you watch him, and, like, in practice, like, he starts overshooting corners. Like, he says to me, when I got in practice, don't panic. Strange thing to say, isn't it? What do you mean, don't fucking panic? And he waits till the very last guy's on the track and then pulls on the track and he pulls over and he's looking down at the bike and I'm like, what the fuck's he doing? And I realise he's not waving his arms around or looking for me or Tone. So I'm like, maybe this is what he means by don't panic. So he waits then for the first guy who went on the track to come up behind him. So he sets off then, stand feet on the pegs, does a lap. Second lap, they don't time it till the third lap. Second lap, he starts overshooting corners. Terrible. Like he's got no brakes. I'm like, fuck, have we done wrong here now? Like, has he got, can't he stop? Third lap, comes past us. There's a 90 degree turn. Fourth gear, didn't even back off. Just leaned it over. If that berm had let go, it landed in the van. The speed, he came past us. Then you go and look at the lap times. He's 3 seconds quicker than anybody else on the track.
Yeah,
on a bike, he's only ridden for 2 laps. On a track that he's only just seen, you're just like, and we said after, what's wrong with the brakes? Nothing, why? I'm like, were you overshooting corners, right, left and centre? He said, if you don't overshoot, you don't know where your braking points are.
Yeah, that is mad.
Fucking hell. It's all on purpose.
Well, even I remember racing. When you say he's 50, I race. He beat me by 1 point in the British Championship in 2007. Do you remember that?
Yeah. The thing is, Brown, you can take a picture of him and use it for training school because he's perfect on the bike, isn't he?
Yeah.
He don't look like an old man riding the bike, does he?
He doesn't look like an old man when he's ripped and fit. And
he's fit. I mean, speak to Dean.
Yeah, Dean says how fit he is. In the gym, he cycles with him, trains with him. He's at the track, running around a track. He says if you need something from the workshop that's like a 5 minute like run away, Dean's like, I'll just ride back. He's like, no, I'll go get it. And then he just starts sprinting back to the thing and back. Like any chance that he can do a bit of training, he does it.
Yeah, but again, that's cool. You need people like that around you and in the sport.
He's so easy. And he'll sit and have lunch with the kids and just, he's a family man and he's a lovely geezer. I know he's got anger issues. He makes me laugh. I've been in situations that he's terrified me.
Really?
I've been in a car where he's reached for a gun in the glove box and all kinds.
What, he goes nuts?
Oh, he's, yeah.
They all love, everyone loves him. I've never heard a bad word say about him.
I'd be like, oh, is he?
Yeah.
Wouldn't be a big fucking never. You'd be like, the guy's got, he's got anger issues.
But Dean, Dean's obviously with him every day because he's there and he's, Brownie's like, you have Alden and then you have Mike that oversees like the other guys and Dean's with the other guys and he's with him every day and he just loves the bloke, like, can't say a bad word about him.
No, he's
I've never heard anyone say a bad word about him.
No, he's good as gone. He'll look after you and he's really appreciative of what we do with him. He says he can't believe the bikes. He's just unreal, you know. And he knows we do the best we can. And if it don't go right, we don't go right, but we've done the best we can. And he knows that and that's all he can ask. You know? And I know full well we can leave there Sunday night and you can't be like, fucking Brownie didn't try very hard.
Yeah.
Fuck that. He's going to be doing the best he can. The only trouble is with him, I will say, if the bike is having a problem, he ain't backing her down.
He's just going to blow it smithereens.
He'll twist it until it fucking breaks. And he'll tell you that.
What about his disappearing acts that he does?
He's like Mr. Ben, isn't he? He comes in our tent, he takes his helmet off, and he'll stand there and tell Tone if there's any changes to make. And he walks through the door at the back of the tent, and I do not know where he goes. And the next time you see him, he'll appear in that doorway five minutes before the next race, all brand new, clean gear. You're like, where the fuck have you been? People say, he's bound here. I'm like, if you don't see him, no. Because he's not. I don't know where he goes. I don't know what he does.
Maybe he goes to the beer tent.
I don't know what he does. Bless him. Maybe we should track him up one day.
Yeah, I'll track him.
We'll just follow him. You follow him with your camera all weekend.
He's a funny boy. Bless him.
That's one another question I got for you, Rob, because I don't fancy eating Tommy's cooking for 3 nights in the motorhome. What's the food situation?
We've got loads of food vendors there. Basically, it's out of our control a little bit. The same people who do the beer do the food. They ask us how many people are coming, and they supply enough stuff to warrant.
Ah, so we got
but
all.
The days of just having burgers and chips are gone. You know, there's noodle people and all that, I assume. I mean, we don't, by just letting them take care of it, we don't really get involved. But my missus is doing hospitality all weekend.
Oh, good.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah, so we'll be doing plenty of that. And there's an Indian down the road. And you're only 6 miles from Swindon if you want to go and get something to eat. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I think a load of my mates are coming and they're staying in Swindon and that. So.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and they don't ever come to race, do they?
No, it's all my dad's old mates. The last race they came to was probably a GP you raced in your heyday.
Yeah, back in the day. But there's so many people are coming who haven't been to races since Fox Hill or 20 years ago. So many people coming. So I just hope it's going to be a good vibe. I just hope it's going to be a fun time. I hope it's not too busy where it's uncomfortable.
No, I reckon.
But it's a big venue. You know, to make out, it's not a little.
I don't think it can be too busy. I think like the atmosphere, more busy in a place like that, that's just better.
Yeah, well, we've got air.
Some places you go, you want it busy to get
it stacked around the edge.
I want that place lit up. I want coming on that first turn and not even near the bikes. You know what I mean? It's going to be.
I hope
so, because we've put a lot of effort into this. You know, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
So just come and support it.
Yeah. So well, I think we'll call it a day there, so we can all get in our way. But yeah, please come and support it. If you're into motocross, Wob's put his balls on the line here. Let's get behind him.
I would have put my balls on the line if I was on the line.
It's me. Well, Dave King, Languish Club.
A few people.
Oh, yes.
There's been a lot of investment in doing it. Time and money in the bikes, getting the right people over. You've got time. It's Monday. This is coming out on Monday. So it starts on Thursday. You've got time to get there. Enjoy the weekend.
Tickets on
come.
The gate. No problem. Just come along.
Yeah.
Camping is £50 for the weekend, £12.50 a night over the bank holiday weekend. I mean, where the fuck are you going to get camping for that, you know? And we do a lot of festivals, and trust me, £40 for the weekend is cheap.
Yeah.
Because we go to a normal little family festival at home, it's £300 for a ticket.
It's mad, isn't it, that they can charge?
And, you know, so with the live music and the entertainment and the bands.
Yeah, and the beers, the bikes, the riders. £40
for the weekend is not expensive.
No. So that's this weekend coming, starting on Thursday the, I'm going to check this date.
25th, is it?
Thursday the 25th, 12 p.m, gates open. So make sure you come, make sure you support it. Tommy's going, I'll be there. We're going to still make a video and do a bit, even though Tommy's at the
room. Say hi, and we'll see if we can find Brownie. He can sign something for you.
Yeah.
That's it. We will see you at Fox Hills.
So thanks very much. Get behind it and catch you all soon. Oh, we'll do another podcast sooner rather than later. Billy's back next week. He also might be on that race on Saturday. That is a might, and Billy's mights normally don't mean.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
That will be there, but it's a slim chance that Billy will be there as well. But we'll do another podcast after, so we'll talk about the race. Wob won't be here, Tommy, me, Tommy, and Billy. So thanks very much. Catch you all soon.
See you later.